Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Nun Aleph, a special early edition of the Daf Yomi. We are holding on Daf Nun Amud Beis. We had last quoted a brisa where the brisa had discussed the case of a gozel, a bird that had fallen into a wine press, and a person had a machshava to feed it to a kuti. Then it's going to be tamei with tumas ochlin. But if your machshava was to feed it to a kelev, to just feed it to a dog, so then it doesn't have a status of a ochlin, and therefore it's not going to be subject to tumas ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held, no, even if your intention is to feed it to a dog, it's going to have the status of tumas ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri offered a kal v'chomer that if it's able to be tamei as a nevelas oath, so it has that tuma chamura that it could be metame a person, bebeis habliya, to even be metame as begadim, even without any machshava whatsoever. So for sure it should have tuma sochlin, which is a relatively lighter form of tuma without any machshava. So the chacham responds, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, no. The reason it's able to be metame tuma chamura is because it's eina yaredes lekach. There's no concept of machshava by tuma chamura. But by tuma kala, there is a concept of machshava. So maybe you do need machshava. So we left off about 10 lines before the end of the page in Daf Nun Amud Beis. Says Gemara b'maya skinan. What exactly is the case of this bird that falls out of the sky and ends up in the gas, in the wine press? Ilem b'krachim, if we're talking about in large cities where there are a lot of people, and therefore it's more likely that you're going to find someone interested in eating a bird that fell out of the sky. Lama la machshava. Why do you even need machshava for it to be considered an ochel? V'atna nevelos b'matara b'kal makum. There's a list of items that includes a nevelas of tahar. If you're in a krach, if you're in a large city where there are a lot of customers, so you don't need machshava, you don't need hechsher, it's automatically considered a food because there's an assumption that you'll find someone willing to eat it. So Ella, rather we must be talking about bikfarim. Well, if we're talking about in a village, in a kfar, does anyone hold that you do not require machshava in order to grant it the status of an ochel in a kvar vatna nevelas beimatameya bekol makom unevelas ov tahor bikfarim tzricha machshava vein tzricha hechsher. It says explicitly in the Mishnah that in a nevelas ov tahor in a kvar where there aren't so many people and therefore it's much less likely to be eaten, if you want it to have a status of ochlim, so then it requires machshava. So how could you say that we're talking about a kfar? Everyone would require machshav in a kfar. There would be no debate between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. So we're stuck. What's the case? Are we talking in a krach where everyone would agree that it should not even require machshava at all? Or are we talking in a kfar where everyone should agree that it does require machshava? So I'm Rabbi Zeir ben Chanina li'olam bekrach. We're talking about in a large city. Aye, we said, isn't it obvious that it has a din of an ochel? No, because this nevela softar is not just tam and nevela, it also had fallen into a wine press, which makes it yet more disgusting than it otherwise would be. So even in a krach, it may not be so easy to find a customer, to find somebody who's interested in eating it. V'gito ma'asaso, the gas has made it more disgusting. V'asaso kikfar, and therefore has turned a large city into something that is akin to a village, because it's going to be as difficult in the large city to find someone to eat it as it will be in a village. So good, so that explains that part of the braisa. Now we go on to the next part of the braisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri offered the following kal v'chomer. If it's able to be metame begadim abeis abliya without any machshava, lo tetame to mekala shalo b'machshava, so shouldn't it also be able to be metame with tumas ochlin even without a machshava to use it as ochel? So lo, the chum responded, lo, emarta b'tuma chamur shekin eni yaredes l'kach. You can't compare, because by tuma chamur it's not yaredes l'kach. So my eino yaredes l'kach, what does that mean? It's not yaredes l'kach. Says the Gemara, three possibilities. Possibility number one, amar rava hachi ka'amri lei. This is what the chum are saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Lo, emarta b'tuma chamur shekin eina osa kayotseba. The reason why it's metame b'gadim abeis abliya without any machshava is because the tumas begadim abeis abliya is a type of tumah that cannot duplicate itself. Meaning, once it's metame the adam, that adam cannot go and be metame another adam. Tomar b'tumakala she'osa kiyotzei ba. But maybe that's different than tumas ochlin, where even after tumas transmitted to the food, it could then go be mitame something else as well. So therefore, it can make kiyotzei ba. Maybe therefore you do need machshava. Some le Abaye says no. Then it's a backwards kal v'chomer. Kol d'chein hu, should the kal v'chomer should work in the opposite direction. Umatuma chamura tequila deinos kiyotzei ba, because that is a kula about the tuma of an event. You just said that it's not able to make kayotziba, and still it's mitame shalom b'machshava. Still it has the ability to be mitame without machshava. Even the lighter form of tumah, the tumah's beis habliya, which in a sense is lighter in that it can't duplicate itself, nevertheless is mitame shalom b'machshava. So tumakala, which is more chamur, which can make kiyotziba, meaning it's funny to call it tumakala more chamur. It's a tumakala in the sense that it's only tumas ochlin. It's not metame adam metame begadim, but it's more chamur in the sense that it could duplicate itself. It could transmit its tumah to something else. So all the more so, since it has that chumra, it should be able to be metame shalom b'machshava. So we reject that understanding. Understanding of Eina Yoredes Lekach. Ella Amar Rav Sheshes says, no, this is what we mean to say. This is how the Chachamim reject Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri's Kal V'chomer. Hachika Amar, this is what they mean to say. Lo Mamarta B'tuma Chamura Shekein Eina Tzricha Hechsher Tomer B'tuma Kala Shetzricha Hechsher. Tuma Chamura does not require Hechsher, and that's why it does not require Machshava. Tuma Kala, Tuma Sochlim, does require Hechsher, and the Mela therefore does require machshava as well. So says Gemara, but wait a second, is that true? Umitzricha echshir, does the tumah kala, does the tumas ochlin status of the nevela bird require hechshir? Meaning hechshir can mean two things, as we've said in yesterday's daf. Hechshir can mean the huchshir l'kabel tumah by coming into contact with one of the zayin mashkim, which makes a food item susceptible to tumah. It could also mean actually contacting something that's tameh. Normally, in order for food to become tameh, it needs both. It needs to be huchshir l'kabel tumah by coming in contact with the liquid, and then it needs to actually come in contact with something that's tameh. But ask the Gemara, when you're dealing with a nevelas oaf, does it really require either of these hechsher? There are three things we know about nevelas oaf tar. Tzricha machshava, ve'ena metame el bebeis ablia, ve'ena tzricha hechsher. The third item on the list is that it does not require hechsher. It needs machshava in order for it to be considered an ochel. It's only metame when you're swallowing it, but the third item on the list is that it does not require hechsher. So how can you say that tumah kala does require hechsher? Not the tumah kala we're talking about here. Tumah kala of nevelas oaf tar does not require hechsher. So says Gemara, no, maybe it doesn't require one type of hechsher, but does need the other type of hechsher. Need hechsher sheretz lo baya, hechsher mayim baya. It may not need to actually come in contact with something that's tameh, but it certainly needs to become what we would call huchsher lekabel tumah. So maishna hechsher sheretz lo baya, the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Because why would there be a logical reason to distinguish between the two types of hechsher? Maishna hechsher sheretz lo baya, the reason it doesn't require coming in contact with something that's actually tameh is kedetanin debei Rabbi Shmuel, is because based on Rabbi Shmuel's teaching, which we'll see in a moment, hechsher mayim nami lo tibayi kedetanin debei Rabbi Shmuel. So it shouldn't require hechsher mayim either for the same teaching of Rabbi Shmuel. What is this teaching? Detanin debei Rabbi Shmuel al kol zara zarua asher yizareya, that the pasuk talks about both hechsher mayim and hechsher sheretz. And what does it say? Mazraim shein soflan tami tumachamur tzrichan hechsher av kol shein soflan tami tumachamur tzrichan hechsher. Only things that are similar to Zra'im, in that they don't have any more severe tumah other than tumah sochlin, only such things require hechsher. But things that already have a more severe type of tumah than the tumah sochlin, like nevelas of tahar, do not require hechsher. Which type of hechsher? They don't require either type of hechsher. Not the hechsher of coming in contact with one of the Zayin mashkim in order to make it mukshel kabel tumah, nor the hechsher of coming in contact with an actual sheretz in order to make it tameh. Actually, yatsa nevelas of tar, shesofel the tamitul mechamura, shein sarach hechsher, you see, nevelas of tar does not require Hechsher, because one day it will be Mitami to Mechamura. And therefore we reject Rav Sheshes' understanding of Eino Yeredes Lekach. We wanted to say, what does Eino Yeredes Lekach mean? That the Tumas Ochlin of a Nevelas of Tahar does not require Hechsher, and that's why it does not require Machshava. But we have just, I'm sorry, does require Hechsher, and that's why it does require Machshava. But we just have proven that it does not require Hechsher. The Tumas Ochlin of Nevelas of Tahar does not require Hechsher. So rather the third possibility. Elam Rav Avitem Rav Papa Shum Tuma Chamur Biolam Shum Tuma Kala Biolam. When we say that it's Eini Yeredes Lekach, that Tuma Chamura does not require Hechsher, Tuma Kala does require Hechsher, we don't mean the Tuma Kala, the Tumas Ochlin status of something that also has Tuma Chamura, of a Nevelas of Tahar. We mean, generally speaking, the rule is, by Tumas Ochlin, that it requires Hechsher. And Achinami, if that Ochel happens to be a Nevelas of Tahar, it does not require Hechsher, but as a rule, Tumas Ochlin does require Hechsher. And that is the rejection of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's Kal v'Chomer. So again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri wanted to say, if something could be Metami Tuma Chamura Shalo b'machshava, so Tuma Kala should for sure happen Shalo b'machshava. The rejection is, no, Tuma Kala requires Machshava, because Tuma Kala also requires Hechsher, which Tuma Chamura generally doesn't require. Which type of Tuma Kala requires Hechsher? Normal Tuma Kala. Not the Tuma Kala of Nevelas of Tahar, but normal Tuma Kala requires Hechsher. Period. New issue. We had said on the very bottom of Daf Nun Amud Aleph, we quote the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you have endives that were planted originally with the intention to use them as animal feed, and then you change your mind while they're in the ground, and you decide you want to use them as human food, so you need machshava after you remove them from the ground in order to grant them the status of food. And what we saw from there is that a machshava, while it's still attached to the ground, is a meaningless machshava. It is not impactful whatsoever. So Amar Rava says, commenting on that, even though machshava about food that's still attached to the ground is absolutely meaningless in the world of Tumas Ochlin, it's meaningful in the world of Meiser. Meaning to consider something of food that will be chayiv in Meiser. So if you have in mind, while it's still attached to the ground, that you want to use it for human consumption, that is enough to make it chayiv in Meiser. So Amar Rava Minamina, Rava says, where do I know this from? Titnan, Hasiya Ve'ezova Kornisha B'chatzer. If you have various herbs in a chatzer, im hayunishmar and chayavin. If they're being guarded, then they're chayiv. Say, Echidami, what does that mean? Ilay, midizarinim. If we're talking about where you planted them originally with the intention of having them being consumed by human beings, so then of course it's going to be chayiv in Maisos. It's a food. So the case must be like our case, that you planted it originally having in mind for behema. And what do we say? Only if you then change your mind and decide to guard it for the sake of human consumption, then and only then is it going to be chayiv in Maiser. So isn't that a raya, therefore, to Rava, that even Rabbi Yochanan would be moda, that a machshava on food that's still in the ground, that's still mechuber lekarka, while ineffective to give it the status of ochel vis-a-vis tumas ochlin, is effective to give it the status of ochel in regards to maestros. So Ravashi says, no, it's not a raya at all. We're not talking about a case where you planted it for behema. We're talking about a place where these herbs are just growing on their own. No one ever cultivated them. So absent any other machshava to the contrary, we assume that you stam intend to use it for Adam. If the chatzer is being guarded in the sense that it's not hefker, chayavin, then it's going to be chayavin maestros. But if it's hefker, it's pata for maestros. Not midin, it not being food. It is food. It's stamala adam. But midin hefker, anything that's hefker is pata for maestros. So masav Ravashi asks, wait a second, kol shechavim maestros metam tumas ochlin. We say in the Mishnah that anything that's chayavin maestros by definition is also metam tumas ochlin. But if what you, Ravi, are saying is correct, that something that you have a machshava to use for food while it's mechubar does not grant it the status of food for Tumas Ochlin, but does grant it the status of food for Meiser, so isn't this a rule breaker? The rule is anything that's chayv and meiser is metame to mesochlin. You're trying to tell me, Rava, that you have something that's chayv and meiser that's not metame to mesochlin. If you had a machshava that you want to use it for food while it was mechuber lekarka, it's chayv and meiser, but not metame to mesochlin. So answers the Gemara, Rava hachi kam. Rava will defend himself as follows. We don't mean to say that every single example you're going to come up with where there's a chiyuv of maisos, there's necessarily also tumas ochlin. What we mean to say is those types of items that are generally susceptible to a chiyuv maiser are also susceptible to tumas ochlin. But you can have circumstances where based on a machshava or based on some other external circumstance, something will be chayv maiser and will not be matami tumas ochlin. And it's most logical to assume that when we formulate these klalim in the Mishnayos, we're talking about the min, and we're not talking about every specific circumstance. How do I know that? Mitaktani Seifa, it says Vayter in the Mishnah. In the next Mishnah, we're going to see on Amud Beis, Kol Shechayev Reish Sagez, Chayev Matanos. Anything that's Chayev in Reish Sagez is Chayev in the Matanos Kuna. V'yeh Shechayev Matanos, V'yeh Chayev Reish Sagez, but some things are Chayev in the Matanos Kuna and are not Chayev in Reish Sagez. The Im Isa, and if you want to say that it refers to every single circumstance, ha'ika treifa the chayavus breish sagez ve'na chayavus matanos treifas chayavin reish sagez and it's not chayavin matanos. Since the Gemara, that's not necessarily a raya that we're talking about the min. Amravina amani Rabbi Shimon he. Maybe that's just assuming like Rabbi Shimon that it's not true that it is chayavin that a treifa is chayavin reish sagez. It's not Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry that a treifa is actually potter from reish sagez, and that's why the rule still works. Rabbi Shimon Potter said, "It's not Rabbi Shimon Potter said treifa mereish sagez." So it's potter from both reish sagez and matanos. Amar Rav Simon Barashi, Toshma, I'll bring you another raya that we must be talking about the min and not every single circumstance. Hamafkir is karmo v'hishkin b'bakar batzro. If a guy was mafkir his vineyard and then he wakes up early in the morning to harvest it, chayiv beperet ubalelos ubeshitcho bepeya. It's chayiv in all the various matnos aniim upotter min a meiser, but it's potter from meiser. But isn't that a rule breaker also? Because don't we know the Mishnah says anything that's chayv and peya is chayv and maestros as well? So lav shmamina min katani shmamina. So we see clearly that it's only talking about the min. It's not talking about every circumstance, because you can have a circumstance where something is going to be chayv in peya and potter from maestros. The case of the guy that was mafkir's kerem and he harvested it in the morning. So you do have such a circumstance. But when we formulate these rules, we're not talking about specific circumstances. These are rules in the min, in the type of item. Period. Tanan Hassam. We have learnt elsewhere. Now this is there's a little bit of background. Rashi fills us in Maseches Peya, meaning this is a Mishnayis, a series of Mishnayis in Maseches Peya, where there is a machlokas tanaim if a person is minamer his sadeh. Let's say a person goes out to his field. If he harvests the entire field, so it's obvious he's got to leave a corner for peya. Let's say he just harvests that which has already ripened, and he leaves sections that have not yet ripened, and he's going to come back for those sections later. So we have a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, what the halacha is in terms of peya. Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to give peya separately from each section at each harvest. And the Chacham disagree. The Chacham say, nah, you give one peya, me'achas alakal, one peya for the entire field. So now we're going to come up with a case where even the Chacham are going to be moda, that you give multiple peyos and not just one big peya. Tanan Asam, it says in the Mishnah in Peya, modim Chacham the Rabbi Akiva, the Chacham will be moda to Rabbi Akiva, bizorea, shavas ochar dil b'shnaim u'shosh mekamos, shnosim peya mikal echa v'echa, that if a person plants dill or mustard seeds in two or three different spots in his field, that he's got to give peya from each and every spot. So what is that? Wait a second. What did we just say? That dill is something that's chayv in peya, right? And therefore, following the rules that the Mishnayos lay out for us, umechayv b'meiser. If it's chayv in peya, it's got to be chayv in meiser also. But it's not called chayv b'peya, chayv in meiser, because that's what the Mishnah says. Anything that's chayv in peya by definition is chayv in meiser. Umid mechayv b'meiser. Now, if it's chayv in meiser, metami tumas ochlin, then again, following the rules that the Mishnayos lay out for us, it must also be metame tumas ochlin. Alma kol mili da'avid l'tayma metami tumas ochlin. What you see from there is that that anything that's made for flavoring, which dill we assume is for flavor alone, is not a real food, you only use it as a flavoring, is able to be metami tumas ochlin, dashav is still time avida, because dill is used only for flavoring. So basically what we've gotten from this Mishnah and Peah is that once you follow all the rules, you connect all the dots in the Mishnayis, it turns out something used for flavoring is metame tumas ochlin. So ask the Gemara, is that really true though? Don't we have a stira or a minhi? Hakosh v'achimum v'rashe b'sam v'atia v'achalosis v'apilpilim v'chalas chariya. All of these different types of herbs that are used for flavoring only. Nikachin because of meiser v'ein metame tumas ochlin de Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva holds you can use meiser sheni money to buy them because they are consumed, but they're not metame tumas ochlin. They don't have a din of a food vis-a-vis tumas ochlin. And Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri disagrees with Rebbe Kiva and he says, if you could use ma'aser sheni money on them, then they must have a din of a food for everything, and they should be tami tumas ochlin. And if you hold that they're not a food for tumas ochlin, then you should not be able to use ma'aser sheni money to purchase them. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri concludes: which way are we going to go on this? Are we going to say that it's a food legabe everything, or that it's not a food legabe anything? So the conclusion was nimnu v'gamru sheini kachin because of ma'aser vein metam. Tumas Ochlin, that you cannot use Meiser Sheni money on it, and it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin. So you see very explicitly that something that's used only as a flavoring is not Metame Tumas Ochlin, against the implication about the story with the dill, that it is Metame Tumas Ochlin. So Amar Rav Chisda, Kitanya Hi B'Sheves Hasuya L'Kamach. Maybe there's a difference between different types of dill. Maybe that was talking about a dill that's used for a dip, which is actually consumed, and not a dill that's used only for flavoring. Amar Rav Ashi Amrisa L'Shmaite Kamed Rav Kahana Lotei M'Sheves Hasuya L'Kamach Hastam L'Kadeira. This does not mean to say that stam dill is used only for flavoring. El stam sheves l'kamach hasuya. Stam dill is meant to be used for consumption. D'tanan sheves mishenos natam b'gedera in b'mishum truma vein metam tumas ochlin. Only when dill is already giving tam into a pot, meaning only when it's clear that dill is being used only for flavoring, only at that point do we say that dill is not metam tumas ochlin. But the implication is ha'ad shelo nas natam b'gedera. If you have dill that has not yet been used, and therefore it's not yet determined what its destiny ultimately is, whether it's meant to be consumed or it's going to be used for flavoring. So yesh b'mishum truma u'metame tumas ochlin. So it's chayiv in truma and it's subject to tumas ochlin. But if you were to hold that stam dill has a din of only a flavoring, then even if you don't yet know what you're going to use it for, it should not be subject to masochlin, because stam, it's going to be used only for a flavoring. So therefore we must conclude we see very clearly therefore that it must be that stam, it's used not just for a flavoring, stam, it's used as a real food. Just one ha'ara, something from Amud Aleph that I failed to mention. We said that Rava holds even Rabbi Yochanan is moda legabe meiser, that machsheves chibur is shema machshava. So we made this chilik on Amud Aleph, that when it comes to a machshava on something that's attached to the ground, to use it for human consumption, that machshava is meaningless in the world of tumas ochlin, but meaningful in the world of meiser, of achi of meiser. So the question, of course, is why? Why would we be mechalik between machsheves chibur of meiser and machsheves chibur of tuma? Rashi explained, after all, Rashi explained earlier on, where was the Rashi? Rashi on Daf Nun Amud Beis, Dibur Maskel Alma, just one daf ago, Rashi had explained that the svara that machsheves chibur is not a machshava for tuma is because at the time that it's mechubar, it can't become tameh, and therefore machshava at that point will be meaningless. Well, can't you say the same thing about meiser? At the time that it's mechubar, it can't become meiser, and therefore shouldn't a machshava while it's mechubar be invalid for meiser? So this is a stark akasha that the Achronim ask. So I saw in the Birei Adaf, he quotes from the Chosin Yeshuos, who gives two answers to this kasha. Number one, he says, you could say that the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is moda that machsheves chibur works for meiser is only din midrabanan. On a daraisa level, machsheves chibur should not work for meiser. Why did the Chacham only make this takana? The Machsheves Chibur should work for Meister and not make a similar takana in the world of Tumah? Because by making such a takana in the world of Tumah, they will just be marbe Tumah biolam. The Chacham have no interest in doing that unnecessarily to just create more Tumah in the world, and therefore they kept this takana only in the world of Meister rather than applying it to the world of Tumah as well. Second answer the Chosin Yeshua suggests is that while it's true that it's not shayach tumas ochlin by something that's mechubar, and therefore there's no machshava that's moil for mechubar, when it comes to maisros, it is shayach maisros by something that's mechubar. We find in the Gemara in Meseches kiddushin and daf samach beis amud aleph that if a person says peros arugazu mechubarim, you truma al peros arugazu tlushim. If a person says, I want the fruits that are still attached in this row to be truma for the fruits, to cover the fruits that are already detached from the ground in the other row, it works. So you can have trumas and maestros b'mechubar. And since you could have trumas and maestros b'mechubar, memela machshava of trumas and maestros will work b'mechubar as well. Okay, next Mishnah. Kol shechayev, we've quoted this Mishnah already on Amud Aleph. Kol shechayev b'reish sagez, chayev b'matanos. Anything that's chayev in reish sagez is chayev in matanos. V'yesh chayev matanos, and there are some things that are chayev in the matanos kuhuna, but ve'enu chayev b'reish sagez, but are not chayev in Reish Sagez. Kol sheyesh lo bir yesh lo shviyas, anything that's chayiv in bir and getting it out of your house in the 4th and 7th year in Erev Pesach has a din of Shemitah as well. Yesh yesh lo shviyas vein lo bir, but there's some produce that has a status of Shemitah but doesn't have a din of bir. So kigon ala haluf shote vahadandina, for example, a wild luf leaf and a mint leaf. Yesh yesh lo shviyas vein lo bir. So what's an example of something that has shviyas and no bir? Ikra luf shota v'ikra dandina, the roots of those things. The chsev lem tcha l'chaya asher ba'atzcha tia kol tvos ha'lechol, kol zman sh'chaya chalz min asada, tamach l'bem tcha b'bayis, kolach l'chaya min asada, kol l'bem tcha sh'bayis. Only so long as it's available to the chayos in the field, are you allowed to eat it in the house. Once it's no longer available to the chayos in the field, then you need to be mevayir it from your bayis. But the roots, v'ani lo kalulahu, they never go away, they're underground, and therefore they're always available for the animals in the field. Just one little point. We already saw in Amud Aleph a question on this klal of anything that's chayiv in Reish Sagez is chayiv in Matanos. The question being from Trefa, and the Gemara had two terutzim, either that it's only talking about the min or that the Mishnah is assuming like Reb Shimon. Rishonim had another kasha. The Tosos Chadashim asks that Leviim are chayiv in Reish Sagez and they're potter from Matanos. So the answer would have to be, you'd have to say the same answer, that it's a din in the min, not in the circumstances. A Levi is the person who happens to own the animal. That's a circumstance. We're talking about a din in the min of the animal. So that's where the klal is going to be binding. Okay, now you have probably one of the more famous Mishnayos in Shas, and this is made famous, this is used as one of the Kiruv Mishnayos. One of the rayas that they bring in many of the seminars that Eish HaTorah runs is this Mishnah, that Chazal knew something that they could not have possibly known with whatever science was available to them. Says the Mishnah, Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses yesh lo snapir, anything that has scales, memela has fins also. That's something they could not have known unless they studied every single fish, and yet we have yet to find a single exception of something that has scales and does not have fins. V'yesh yesh lo snapir vein lo kaskeses, but the reverse you do find sometimes. You will find something that has fins but does not have scales. So this is one of their big rayas, that there is a Torah's Moshe Misinai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, because no human being could have been advanced enough, even today is advanced enough, to make any such proclamation. We are finding new species all the time. So how do you know that anything that has kaskeses automatically has snapir? The fact that we know this is one of the rayas that they use, that there must be Torah min HaShemayim. Kol sheyesh lo karnayim yesh lo talpayim, v'yesh sheyesh lo talpayim vein lo karnayim. Anything that has horns has split hooves, anything that has split hooves does not necessarily have horns. Now I said it's a clear-cut thing that we never ever find such a thing. How did Chazal know this? Clear Mishnah that they had clearly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's no exception to the rule. It's never been found. Something that has scales but does not have fins. However, Madani Yom Tov, in the third parak of Maseches Chulin, on the Rosh, in Os Samach Zayin, Sif Katan Hay, Madani Yom Tov writes that when he was an Av Beis Din in Vina, the Chacham Rav Aaron Rofe brought to him a certain type of fish that's called a Shtinkas Marinus, that's found in the Yam HaSvardi, which is a poisonous fish, and pharmacists were able to do stuff with that fish and to make all sorts of medications. But if you just eat the fish plain, it is poisonous, you could die from it. And this fish has kaskasim al kol gufo. It has scales up and down its entire body, and it does not have any fins whatsoever. It has four legs, like ragli chayo behema, but it does not have any fins whatsoever. It's yesh lo kaskasas, and ein lo snapir. So this Rav Aaron Rofe asked him if those legs count as snapirim. So he said, manafshach, if they don't count as snapirim, then the Mishnah is wrong. You have something that has kaskasas, doesn't have snapir. And if those legs do count as snapir, how could it be that the Torah says that it's kosher? That such a fish is kosher? It's poison. The Torah is giving us a sama maves that we're supposed to eat. So the Madani Yom Tov says he didn't know what to tell him. He said maybe it's a min hamorkav that didn't exist in the times of Chazal. Maybe it's a new min that didn't exist in the times of Chazal. When Chazal gave the rules, they gave the rules of kosher yeshal kaskasas, yeshal snapir, for whatever existed in their own times. And then he says, no, maybe you could say like this, maybe a better answer. The whole klal, the kosher yeshal kaskasas, yeshal snapir, that's only by dugim shabiyam. And that's what the Gemara is going to say about the dugim shabiyam. By definition, if it has kaskasas, it has snapir. Why does the Torah even tell us snapir? Lahagdil Torah lahadir. But in the Torah, there's another pasuk. It says, one pasuk says, kol asher lo snapir v'kaskasas. And then there's another pasuk that says, kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskasas. And v'gomer mikol sheretz ha-mayim mikol nefesh ha-chaya. So the pasuk is marbe even a chaya shabiyam. So maybe when the pasuk says in the second pasuk, snapir, that's for a chaya shabiyam. And that's not just lahagdil Torah lahadir, but that's actually to identify that you need both simanim. So maybe the feet don't have a din of a snapir, and therefore it's not a kosher fish, and that's why the Torah has to identify that it needs both snapir and kaskasas in order for it to be a kosher fish when it's a chaya shabiyam. The feet make it a chaya shabiyam. That's Madani Yom Tov's second suggested teretz. Again, first suggested teretz, it's a minimorkov that Chazal never had. Says the Pri Chadash in Yardeas and Pe Gimel Sifkat and Dalid, he's very, very strongly against this Madani Yom Tov. The first answer the Madani Yom Tov gives, that it's a minim workav and that it didn't exist in times of Chazal, says can't be. Divrei Chazal hei mekudashim v'amitiyim. When Chazal make declarations like this, these are absolute declarations. You can't say that something changed over time and therefore this is no longer true. And he says the second teretz is a mistake also. There's a klal Chazal give by fish. They never make a distinction between dugim shabayam and chayil shabayam. The rule is always the same. So he says what you have to say about this, Prichadish says, if I were shown this fish, what I would have said is that this min must have once had fins and it falls off before we ever see it. But if it has kaskasas, you could bet it had fins. Sometimes it will shed its fins. So maybe that's what happened. And what about the kasher of Avaron Harofe, that if it's kosher, how could the Torah be matir something that's a sama mavitz, that's poisonous? He said, well, Rav Aaron Harofe gave the answer himself. Because this Rav Aaron Harofe said that yes, it's poisonous, but pharmacists have figured out how to make amazing medications out of it. So that's why the Torah says that it's kosher. So you can make all these wonderful medications out of it. That's how the Pri Chadash is mitaritz. Now there is a sefer, Zeis Ra'anon, by the author of the Magen Avraham, Ala Torah, in Parsha Shmini. Zeis Ra'anon Ala Torah says that he'd be miyashiv the kasha as follows. Why is it that Rabbi Yishmael is going to say in the Gemara that the only reason the Torah ever mentions snapir, if by definition anything that has kaskasas has snapir, is the hagdil Torah lahadir? We don't find that in the rest of Torah, that we just mention useless pieces of information, just the hagdil Torah lahadir. So he says, maybe we could be miyashiv it based on the other place where we mention the hagdil Torah lahadir. And that is the Gemara at the very end of Masechus Makos. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lizakos Yisrael, Lefich Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah, Shem Rachafetz, Hashem Chafetz Manzik Diagdil Torah V'yadir. Hashem makes extra mitzvahs that we don't even need just to be Yagdil Torah V'yadir. Zucked Rashi on the spot. What does it mean, a mitzvah that we don't even need? Like he makes an iser for us to eat shkatzim and nevelos and all sorts of disgusting things that we would never want to eat anyway. Why does the Torah have to ask for it? We're not going to touch them anyway. Lahagdir Torah Lahadir. That's why the Torah asks it. That's the definition of Lahagdir Torah Lahadir. Zok the Zeis Ranan, the Magen Avraham. The Tanna Dabei Rabbi Shmuel knew very well that this dog that has kaskasim and has no snap ear is Osir. The Torah didn't need to make it aser because it's samamavis, it's poisonous, so it didn't need to make it aser. We're not going to eat it anyway. That's why comes along Rabbi Shmuel, which the Torah didn't need to do, and tells us that the Torah dafka identifies snapir in order to make a fish kosher, to tell us that this fish doesn't have snapir, mele isn't kosher, don't eat this fish. I wasn't going to eat the fish anyway. Exactly. I wasn't going to eat this fish anyway, and still, even though I wasn't going to eat this fish anyway, still the Torah identifies it as a non-kosher fish. That's how the Magen Avraham with Charifus deals with this kind of fish, with this unusual fish that this Rabbi Aaron Harofe showed to the Madan Yontov. Okay, says the Gemara now, Kol sheyesh lo kaskasas tag tor, anything that has scales is a kosher fish. Yesh sheyesh lo sapir vein lo kaskasas. Some things have fins and no scales, tag tamei, and that would be a non-kosher fish. Michti, anana kaskasas samchinan. So anyway, all we need to look for is scales, because if it has scales, by definition, it has fins. So sapir tekos v'rachman alamli. So why does the Torah have to even mention fins? So yilo kas v'rachman asnapir, avamina mai kaskasas dechziv snapir v'afilu dag tamei. No, because had the Torah not mentioned fins, I would have thought that the word kaskasas doesn't mean scales, that it actually means fins. So kas v'rachmanas snapir v'kaskasas. That's why the Torah has to mention both of them. V'hashu dekas v'rachmanas snapir v'kaskasas minolim tekaskasas levushahu. Now that the Torah mentions both of them, so I know that snapir v'kaskasas means fins and scales. But how do I know which is which? How do I know kaskasas means scales and snapir means fins? So dechsiv v'sirion kaskasim hu lavush. It describes kaskasim as a lavush. So that seems to be describing scales. Oh, so once we know that the word kaskasim means scales from the pasuk in Navi, so then why do I need snapir in the Torah? We're back to the original question. Why does the Torah ever have to say snapir? V'lichtov rachmana kaskasas, v'lo bayi snapir. You don't even have to mention snapir. Am Rabbi Avo, v'chein tan d'ber b'shmal, yagdil Torah v'yadir. It mentions snapir, l'hagdil Torah l'hadir, to enhance the words of Torah, to give us more in the words of Torah. Ask Tosfos. Before the Pasuk in Shmuel came along, before the Pasuk in Navi came along, we had Torah before then. How did we know what the Torah meant when it said kaskasas? We only know what it means because visir and kaskasam hulavush. How did people know before we had such a Pasuk? How did we know after Matan Torah what it meant? So Tosa says, you have to say that we had some sort of Kabbalah. Mi Kabbalah haviyadinan. That's Da'achinami, and he says we find this elsewhere in Shas also. We didn't know that Negicha means Keren, means with the horn, except for a Pasuk, Vayasal Tzidkio ben Kanana Karnei Barzel. So you see, how did we know it before the Pasuk in Navi came along? It must be that we had such a tradition, that there was a Torah Shebal Peh tradition along those lines. Okay, next Mishnah. Kol haton bracha l'achrav ton bracha l'fanav. The rule is anything that requires a bracha achrona also requires a bracha rishona. But v'yesh haton bracha l'fanav ain't ton bracha l'achrav. There are some things that require a bracha rishona but do not require a bracha achrona. Says the Gemara, la suyemai, what are we coming to include as something that requires a bracha rishona but not a bracha achrona? La suyerek, greeneries, green vegetables, are not chashev enough to require a bracha achrona. Right? That's what I'm on a diet now, so the nutritionist says that you're limited in how much protein you could have, you're limited in how much dairy you could have, you're limited in how much carbohydrates you could have, how much fruits you could have, every kind of food you're limited, except for green vegetables. Eat as many green vegetables as you want. So on some level, it's less of a chashivus to the green vegetables. It does not require a bracha achrona according to one daya. Says Gemara l'Rabbi Yitzchak t'mevarech hayarek lasu yemai. What about according to Rabbi Yitzchak who holds that it does require a bracha achrona? So then what are we saying does not require bracha achrona and does require bracha rishona? Let's see, maya, water. Water requires bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. Rav Papa, the Mavarech HaMayah Lasu Yemai. What about according to Rav Papa, who holds that water does require bracha achrona? What's he going to say? Lasu Yemitzvos. He's going to say mitzvos are something you make a bracha rishona on. Here's another parallel that we have between a birchas mitzvah and a birchas hananin. All the other possibilities were in the world of Birchas Hananin. And yet we're saying the exception to the rule that normally applies by Birchas Hananin is Birchas HaMitzvos. What do they have to do with each other? So that's what we've pointed out many times in the past. Rosh Hashanah always says B'Shem Rav Salvechit. The Rambam, when he formulates the requirement to make a bracha on a mitzvah, says, just like kishem, just like you make a bracha before you get hana'a from this world, so too you need to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. And the Rav Salvechik explained that the a bracha you make before you get hana'a, the Gemara bracha says, is because also lehanos me'el mazeh below bracha la'shem aretzum lo, the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like we're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need a matir to be able to enjoy it. So the matir is the bracha. So me'el birch a mitzvah, maybe you could understand in the same way. Who are we to have the audacity to go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We need a matir. It's like showing up one day to the White House and saying, I'm ready to serve as Secretary of State. Who the heck are you to serve as Secretary of State? They don't want you there. No, you need a matir to make such an assumption that you're ready to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. The bracha serves as the matir. That's the Asuyei Mitzvos. So we're coming to say that mitzvos require a bracha rishona, but not a bracha achrona. Frak the Gemara, not according to everybody. Ulubnei Marav de Mevarchi Basar de Seliku Tfilai or Shekhar Shon Mitzvah Zitzon Lushmer Chukov, Lasu Yemai. What about the Bnei Marav who used to make a bracha after they removed their tefillin? Then what's it coming to include? They made a bracha achron on tefillin, so Lasu Yerechani. It must be that it's coming to include brachas on smells. We make a bracha rishon on a smell, a barimine b'sam, b'riatz b'sam, all different brachas on smells, but we don't make a bracha achron on smells. Says Tosos, wait a second. They made a bracha, these Bnei Marav made a bracha after removing tefillin. Did they make a bracha after doing other mitzvahs as well? Or was it only an issue in tefillin? So Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that it was only when they removed their tefillin. But by other mitzvahs they would not make a bracha, because these Bnei Marav held that if they put on tefillin after Shkia Sachama, it would be a violation of an asay, because the Pasuk says, Vishamarta Sachuka. So what was their bracha? The bracha was Lishmar Chukav. Because they're taking the removal of the tefillin right before Shkia was a fulfillment of that mitzvah of a shamarta es hachuka. So that's why when they took it off right before Shkia Sachama, they would make this bracha. Rabbeinu Tam adds, they would only make this bracha if they removed their tefillin right before Shkia Sachama. But if they remove their tefillin in the middle of the day, well then it doesn't make sense to make this bracha, because they're not fulfilling the pasuk by removing the tefillin in the middle of the day. Zok the Ramban, this cannot be correct. If they only made a bracha on tefillin, why does the Gemara say that according to Bnei Marava, there's a bracha even after mitzvahs? No, there isn't. There's a bracha after a single mitzvah. Every other mitzvah doesn't have a bracha after it. We would not have to go find Birchas HaReach to come up with something that has a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. Just say every other mitzvah in the Torah has a bracha rishona and does not have a bracha achrona. So Tosos was sensitive to that. Tosos asked this kasha also, and he says, yeah, we could have said tzitzis, for instance, is something that has a bracha rishona and no bracha achrona, but we'd rather say birchas hareach, because that's an entire category that doesn't have a bracha achrona. But Zok the Ramban, the Bnei Marav, in the Ramban's point perspective, made a bracha after every mitzvah. It's just the nusach of the bracha would change. It wouldn't always be lishmar chukav. Sometimes it would be lishmar mitzvosa. For tefillin, it was dafka lishmar chukav. The Ramban adds, but it is very clear that you make a bracha only after the zman of the mitzvah is over, only when the mitzvah is finished. And that's why he does agree with Rabbeinu Tam that if they would have removed their tefillin in the middle of the day, there is no chance that they would make a bracha on that in the middle of the day. Because that's like doing an aveira and making a bracha on an aveira. Why are you taking off your tefillin? You should be wearing your tefillin. The mitzvah is still going. Why are you stopping? But if you're taking it off right before Shkia Sachama, good, so the mitzvah is over. So now that the mitzvah is over, you can go and make a bracha. And he says the same would be true. Any mitzvah that has no gemar, that has no completion to it, there's no end time to it, the Bnei Marava definitely did not make a bracha on such a mitzvah. Why then didn't the Gemara say that that was the example of something you make a bracha l'fan of not li'achrav, a mitzvah that has no gemar? So he says Ramban, because it's not shaykh to make a bracha li'achrav on a mitzvah that has no gemar, because there is no li'achrav. It just keeps on going and going. So that's why it doesn't use that as the exception. La'halacha, Rav Haigon is quoted by all the Rishonim as paskening that we do not hold like Bnei Marava, but, says Rav Haigon, if you want to make a bracha like Bnei Marava, shapir dami. Gesundheit, you can go ahead and make a bracha like the Bnei Marava. Frek the Turin or Chaim Sim Chavtes. If you're not mechayiv to make a bracha, how could the Rav Haigon say you're allowed to make a bracha? Whatever happened to the concept of bracha levatala? B'is Yosef says, I have four answers to that kasha. Number one, maybe Rav Haigon was mesupak if the halacha is Laila Zman Tfilin or Laila Lav Zman Tfilin. And therefore he paskins David Kamaravid or David Kamaravid. Meaning, fundamentally, we really do paskin like the Bnei Marava, that you should make a bracha when you remove your tefillin at the end of the Zman of the Mitzvah. He's just not sure if there ever is an end of the Zman of the Mitzvah. So you want to paskin that way, you can paskin that there is an end of the Zman, and you can make the bracha. Number two, he says, that which Rav Haigon is matir to make a bracha is only on Erev Shabbos, because he holds it as an isser to put tefillin on Shabbos. And even though we don't learn it from Vishamarta Asachuka, we learn it from La'os Al Yadecha, nevertheless, since there's an isser to wear tefillin on Shabbos, you're allowed to make a bracha at that point in time. But there's no chiyuv, because the Gemara, we never find that there was a takana mufureshes in the Gemara to make such a bracha. Third answer, says the Beis Yosef, if there's an isser to put on tefillin on Shabbos, then vada you should make a bracha when you remove tefillin before Shabbos. But Rav Haigon wasn't sure if what we learn from La'os Al Yadecha is an Isser or just a Ptur. Tosus holds it's just a Ptur, that you don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos. Rav Haigon isn't sure, maybe it's an Isser as well, and therefore there's no Chiyuv Bracha, but a Rishus Levarich you definitely do have. Fourth answer, says the Beis Yosef, really we don't paskin like the Bnei Marava. And that's why Rav Haigon says you don't make a bracha. But still, if you want to hold like the Bnei Marava and make a bracha, so ein limchos biyado yavu to be samechan, you're just doing like the Bnei Marava did. Says the Bach, none of these four tirutim satisfy me, because essentially what they all say is that there's a suffix. And if there's a suffix, why are we allowing you to make a bracha? The klal gadol biyadenu, suffix brachos lahakel. Why would we allow a person to make a bracha if it was only a suffix? Zak the Bach, that it's a din drabanan, that you need to remove tefillin at night in order that you don't fall asleep in them. And therefore, you can make a bracha on the removal of the tefillin. Why? Because you're doing a mitzvah midrabanan. Just like you make a bracha in Er Chanukah, just like you make a bracha in Mikra Megillah, even though they're only mitzvahs drabanan, the Gemara, Mesech Shabbos and Mesech Sukkah says, that you're allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah drabanan, Heichon Sivanu, from Losasur, it says in the Torah Losasur, you're allowed to make such a bracha. It's a mitzvah midrabanan to remove your tefillin before Shabbos. Mainly, you're permitted to make a bracha. So why isn't there a chiv to make a bracha? Because we don't find chazal wherever masakin such a bracha. So since they were never masakin such a bracha, there's no chiv. But a heter to make a bracha, you definitely have. Also, we're out of time now, but also worth looking at the Taz and Simon Chavtes and Or Chaim Sivkat and Beis discusses the kasha. Why weren't they masakin making a bracha when you remove tefillin before Shabbos, if you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? A very, very interesting Taz. Okay, we'll stop there. Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up next time, top of Nun Beis Amin Aleph at the Mishnah.